You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Did you see the pool, the jacuzzi out there? Isn't that cool? That's our baptistry there, and I guess that's what you call it, right, Chris? Yeah. So that is what we have out there. It's just exciting to see, and so we are really revved up. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you will not want to miss it. So next week, make sure you're here. Listen, we've got some surprises for you, just some different things that are going to go down. Because truly, the baptism is a culmination of everything that we do around here, right? Looking at that and seeing that, and just how God is moving and working in here in our church. So you will not want to miss next week, that is for sure. It doesn't take much, and a joke can go right over my head. What about you this morning? Have you ever had a joke that just go right over your head, you know? And it doesn't take much, and a lot of things just kind of go right over my head. You know what I mean this morning? And so I remember when I was a youth pastor at the Miamisburg Church a long time ago, right? And there was this lady that came in, and some of you may have heard the story or not, but anyways, here's the deal. She came in and she's like, "Oh, Ryan, I know your Aunt Jean. I had an aunt, and she's like, "I know your aunt," and she was squeezing my cheeks, you know, and just loving on me, I guess, you know, and whatever that means. But she was just, you know, excited to see me, and I could not figure out who this lady was. I honestly could not. And she says, "Ryan, we just love you, and oh, we've heard good things." And I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry, but what is your name?" And she says, "My name is," she's, "Ryan, I'm a Jean Cole. And I said, "Oh, I'm a Jean. That's right." No, she says, "I'm a Jean Cole, Ryan. I'm a Jean. And I said, "Oh, I'm a Jean. So good to have you here." And she's like, "No, Ryan, I am Jean Cole." Right? It was Jean Cole. I didn't know. Anyways, it just went right over my head, right? I think back on that, it was kind of embarrassing. And she's like squeezing my cheek. Anyways, so, you know, things kind of can go over our heads sometimes. And here's the deal. The truth is this morning, this message, it is meant to go over our heads. And you'll see what I mean by that, right? It is the truth. The Lord is always trying to reveal and show us this truth and a deeper level of understanding. And you know what? More times than not, it goes right over our head. A lot of times when the Lord's trying to reveal himself to us, when the Lord's trying to teach us something, when the Lord's trying to get us to understand a deeper level of truth, it just goes right over my head. I don't know about y'all, but it does mine, right? And the truth is that I believe that you know, we are, when it comes to things like faith, we tend to play on the surface. Going deep is just over our heads, and we don't feel comfortable getting into those territories, getting into those areas, right? We like it on the surface. On the surface, it makes sense. It makes sense on the surface. Well, here's the challenge. The challenge is this, is that we can never really grow when we play on the surface. We can never really grow. Here's the deal. When I think of something going over my head, I cannot help but think of water. Water. You know, water going over my head. You know, I remember watching Beth. Beth and Ella, actually, the boys, Beth teaching the boys and Ella how to swim. I mean, the truth is that Beth was very aggressive with her swimming lesson approach. And the truth is someone probably could have called children's services on the way that she taught our kids how to swim. I mean, I'm like, what are you doing? Throwing our kids in the water like that, you know? And they're like, you know, trying to figure it out. They got to learn somehow. We're going to teach them, you know? And I would swim out there and they would lock their arms around my neck. Almost, you know, I couldn't breathe, you know? They were scared, stiffless. And I'm thinking, my goodness, man. But here's the truth. The truth is that the church the church, I believe this. I believe that the church, God wants the church, they're not just this church, but every, all the church, church universal language here. God wants the church, right, to live and to walk and to move, not just on the surface, but God is calling us to deeper levels. He's calling us to something more. He wants us to get to a place where we can lock our arms around him and trust him, because it's in the deep that God begins to really show us the depth of his love and the depth of his grace and the depth and the level by which we can trust him. In the scripture, Ezekiel, you know, he had a similar example or a similar situation that we have. I mean, here's where I believe that we are. I long for the church to experience the depth of God's goodness and grace. I long for the church to move to deeper levels of living and walking in the Spirit. Here's the truth. The world has become so secular, and there are so many more unchurched folks, right? It poses challenges that we think that we cannot go deep because it will always be over people's heads. Well, here's what I've come to believe. I've come to believe that, and actually today kind of shows us, I think you'll agree with me by the time we get to the end of this, that the Lord wants it to be over our heads. I'm not hearing very many people say anything here this morning, but I believe that. The Lord wants this over our heads. He wants us to experience the deep things of God. Ezekiel wanted his people to experience the deep things of God. And the book of Ezekiel is a very deep, deep book in the Bible. Quite frankly, Ezekiel is an Old Testament prophet, and he's trying to share with his people this imagery, this vision that God gave him, right? And it's pretty cool, really. And I just can't wait to share. I couldn't wait to share it with First Service, and I can't wait to share it here this morning. He's trying to present this vision. He's trying to present a vision and word that was given to him. And so that's what I want to share with you here in Ezekiel 47, 1 through 6, and maybe portions of 6 through 12. But here's the truth. Here it is in verse 1. It says this. Ezekiel's having this vision. He says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And there I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on the south side. Okay, so here's the truth. The truth is Ezekiel's having this vision, and this vision is that there's this man, this guide brought him to the entrance of the temple. Well, in Ezekiel's day, the temple represents the presence of God. The temple was where God lived. Does that make sense this morning? So this man is bringing Ezekiel to the presence of God, introducing him to the entrance of the temple, the opening of the temple, or the right at the front door, the foyer of the presence of God, right? And he says, there I saw a stream, and it was flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar, the south side. I'm not an architect, but I can kind of visualize that a little bit. And what happens here is verse 2, the man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the east, or the eastern entrance, and there I could see water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. So it starts out and there's just a little bit of water that's dripping or flowing. It's moving through out from the presence of God, and it's coming through this doorway. And there we pick up in verse 3, measuring as we went, this man, he led me along the stream about 1,700 feet and then led me across. And the water, as we led across this stream, the water there was to my ankles. It was ankle deep. Ankle deep, that's safe. I could touch the bottom there. That's good, right? Pulling up my pants a little bit, you know, my waders, wading through ankle deep. I'm comfortable with ankle deep, folks. Ankle deep's good. I like it, ankle deep. All right, then he measured off another 1,700 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. My knees, okay. You know, I could try to get my pants up that high, but that's going to be a little tough, but we'll try that. Knee deep. I can deal with knee deep. We're knee deep and we're wading across that portion about 1,700 feet down. And then he measured off another 1,700 feet, and it was there that the water was up to my waist. Now, up to my waist, I'm starting to feel a little push to that current. Things are a little bit uneasier there because I can't see the bottom. And then verse 5, then he measured another 1,700 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through it. The water, quite frankly, and the current in the water, it was over my head. I'm not comfortable with that. I can't touch bottom there. This is a little different now. And so Ezekiel's painting this vision. He's given us this passage of scripture. And here, first off, I just want to recognize that this river that's flowing out from the presence of God is recognized as a river of healing. Did you know that? Anything that comes from God, anything that God offers to us, and it's referenced in the scripture as a river of healing. River of healing. In Ezekiel's day, the temple represented, we said this, where God was. And the man is introduced to this, like many of us sitting here today, we've been introduced with the presence of God. You have been introduced with the fact that God is real, and that God, you sense God. Many of us have. Some of us may have not yet. But hopefully this is an introduction to God. God is a God of love, and he's a God that wants us to be in relationship with him. He's a God that wants us to trust him. He's a God that wants to offer us healing. He's a God that wants to bring healing and hope to our lives. In the commentaries, my favorite one, good old Adam Clark, you can never go wrong with him, I promise. He says this, it may be applied, this river, it may be applied in how it flows out from the temple. It may be applied to the discoveries of a new believer receiving the mercy of God in his salvation. Those of us who have experienced coming to know Christ, coming to know God, we understand. And we've experienced that, right? We've experienced this idea of salvation and what it means. And I believe that that's represented here with walking ankle deep through that river. Ankle deep. We have to start somewhere. Unless you're Beth throwing our kids in the deep end, right? Right? You know, God doesn't do that. He doesn't do what my wife does, right? She's over there. I can say whatever I want today, right? The little child, Adam Clark says, a little child born of God, born from above, and he begins to taste the bread of life and live on the heavenly food. There's nothing like that when you get a taste of that for the first time. You get a taste of what that's like, and you begin to follow God. He begins to lead you, and he begins to lead you into some marriage. You're like, well, where's God taking me here? And then he gets to a place here where he grows up and increases in stature and strength and becomes a young man or young adult. Here we see it, getting into that knee-deep area, knee-deep, waist-deep. You know, you got to have a little strength to walk. You got the current. You're walking through that, you know, and you sense it. You feel it coming against you, but yet you're experiencing new things and you're trusting God. God's leading you to areas where you can't see the bottom, but you can touch it. You can feel it. And then verse 3, then you get to this third part where man, things begin to mature in the divine life or divine living, in living with God. And as spiritual senses are exercised, so as to become a father in Christ. And in other words, the grace of God appears to come drop by drop. It's given as it is, as it can be used. It's a seed of light and multiplies itself. The person coming into the faith at first can scarcely believe the infinite goodness of his maker. He, however, ventures to follow on. The minister of the gospel in his descriptions, he begins not only to experience salvation, but a fullness of the faith. And God brings him to a place where there's a wellspring of life to be found. And we sense that. We see that. In Ezekiel's imagery and in this vision, this is what he's trying to say to us, I believe. God just doesn't lead us ankle deep. God leads us to a place where we can experience a deeper, more profound idea of who he is and what he wants from us. And in following on to know what we know is that the Lord, he finds a continual increase of light and life till at last he's carried by the streams of grace. Listen to this. Grace to the oceans of eternal mercy, then plunged into the Godhead's deepest sea and lost in his immensity. I have no idea what that means. That's over my head. And I'm not trying to be funny, but it sounds really good. It sounds really refreshing. God wants to refresh us. He wants to revive us. He wants us to experience him in the deep. In the deep. Man, it's all about healing and all about recovery. You realize that, right? It's all about healing and recovery. It's all about, man, God's saving grace. And then you can read it, Ezekiel 47. This would be a great devotional this week for many of us. In 47, read 47, 6 through 12. Read the next six verses. I don't have time to go over it all today. But in it, it's really cool because God leads him through this, lets him experience his immensity, as Adam Clark says. And then in all of that, he then takes him to the side or over to the river bank, and he shows Ezekiel this in this vision what is alongside of this river of healing. On the side of this river of healing, there's all these mature trees and fruit and these leaves that offer healing for the soul, right? These leaves and trees and beautiful forestry up all along this bank as the water leads to what they call the Dead Sea. And what's really awesome about this is that everyone knows what the Dead Sea was back then. The Dead Sea, it's this salty, nasty, dead water. Nothing flows out of it. Anything that flows in it dies, right? Nothing is alive in the Dead Sea. And everyone recognized this. You couldn't grow anything there. It was just nasty. There's no fish there. You couldn't do anything like that because it's dead and it's nasty. It's contaminated. But when the river of life, this river that flows from God's temple, reaches the Dead Sea, it all comes to life. And it talks about fisheries, and it talks about 6 through 12, how God makes this Dead Sea come to life. And in it, there's fruit trees that abound, and there's fish, and there's all kinds of things that this becomes that's unbelievable in this vision that Ezekiel's having. What's all this mean? God, help us understand. Here's what I believe it means. I believe that God wants us to know that the streams that flow out from him, that we're allowed to partake in, leads not to death, but to life. Many of us understand what death is. We understand what sickness is. We understand what contamination is. We understand what sin is and what it does and how it reflects a Dead Sea. But man, God wants us, Ezekiel wants us to understand that in this vision, God brought the dead to life. Are you here with me today, folks? Man, don't want to get carried away on myself here, but that'll preach. Man, that is awesome stuff. You know, man, here's the deal. The deal is, is that when you start to allow God to take you to areas in your life that is beyond where you're able to touch bottom, that's over your head, he speaks to you. And he warms your heart, strangely warms your heart to new ideas and concepts and visions. And what do you think he's doing with Ezekiel here? Giving him this strange vision. Folks, Ezekiel wasn't smoking anything. God was giving him something to share with other people that would offer hope and grace and life. Man, I need that. I need it. Here's what's true. The truth is this, is that when God speaks to us through his word or through prayer or through someone else, like even maybe this morning, I pray God speaks to some of us through what's being shared this morning. But it's not just check what I'm saying. What I'm saying is not, look, there's no inerrant word that comes from my mouth. I'll promise you that. But here's the truth. The truth is this, is that when God reveals things to us, right? And man, he has something there that he wants us to receive. Something more than just surface stuff. Here's what else is true. When you're reading the scriptures and you don't understand what you're... Well, let me back up. Let me go just a step back. When you read the scriptures, the scripture is not just there for our head knowledge. You understand what I'm saying here today, folks? It is not just there for us to be able to quote scripture. Well, I can quote a ton of scripture. I know scripture. Well, you know what? I think God cares less about what we know, and he cares more about what we experience. When you begin to read scripture and you can't pull it all together like this Ezekiel passage, right? Because at first glance, I'm not getting it. This is over my head, God. Until I say, Father, I pray that your spirit will speak to me here and help me better understand what this passage of scripture is trying to say. Not just so I can preach on Sunday morning, but so that I can better understand what it means for me. And when you begin to pray prayers like that, and I need to pray more of them, quite frankly, because I'm sometimes ankle deep myself, knee deep myself, sometimes waist deep, and every once in a while I'll drift out over my head. But the truth is that when you don't get it, man, there's something there God wants you to get. And when you ask for it, God gives it to you. He don't care as much about what you know here. He cares more about what you experience here. And may the Spirit of God speak to us, and may it offer us fruit and healing and life, just as it did through Ezekiel 47, 6 through 12. Beautiful passage. And truly symbolic and prophetic. I mean, after all, Ezekiel was a prophet. He was an Old Testament prophet. You can't argue with that. Prophetic of what was to come, about God offering his son, not just to die, but to come back to life. The resurrection power is seen in this passage, in this scripture. And it gives all of us hope in that when we tap in to this stream of living water, man, something greater comes. Life comes. Fruit comes. Healing comes. A part of us that, it's just a good thing. Here, get this. Paul wants us, and I need to read through this. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. I'm almost done. Hang with me. In church of Corinth, in chapter 2, right, of 1 Corinthians, it says this. It says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Get this. Paul speaking this, thanks to my brother Jeff Jeffries, reminding me to the fact that the Corinthians were a bunch of shallow people. They struggled with depth. And so Paul's writing this. He's saying, he goes on and he says this, but in verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's Come on, folks. Shallow secrets? Oh, come on now. Deep secrets, right? Verse 11, no one can know a person's thoughts except that a person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And here's what's cool. And we have received God's spirit. What's that mean? Receiving God's spirit. We have an opportunity to know God's thoughts. Not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things. And this was all about, look, it's receive God's spirit, not the world's spirit. We receive God's spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Now, come on, folks. We're not stopping at the ankle deep stuff, right? Come on, let's move on. Let's move on. Come with me now. Let's move to the knee deep. Let's get into the waist deep. Uh-oh, here we go. I know you can't touch, but hang with me here. Hang with me. Verse 13, it says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. And they cannot understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And folks, here's the deal. This is not like a we got it, they don't have it kind of thing. That's not the intent of that. But the truth is that there are limitations as to what the world can understand or receive. I mean, it's funny. Some folks say, you know, I can tell you some stories even this week. Oh, is that Ryan Riddell? Is he still preaching? I have a real job, and I have to show up there on Mondays. You try to recruit these people that don't, into our office, that don't know me, you know, real well. Oh, yeah, is that Ryan Riddell? Because, you know, I got people who know me, and they're like, man, you got to meet Ryan. This is on Facebook live stream. I got to be careful. Oh, is that Ryan Riddell? Is he still preaching? Dude, here's the truth. Look, this is what's really cool. And I don't care what they think, right? It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is, man, is there something more for all of us? And there's something more for them. And you know what? Maybe somehow, some way, the Lord has me in the where I'm at doing, you know, a real job because he wants somehow, some way to, you know, help convey and lead more people to experience life and fruit and something more than death and contamination of this world. Look, verse 15, those who are spiritual can evaluate spiritual things. We got a lot of you folks spiritual in here this morning. Look, maybe you can evaluate this, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Woohoo! Praise God. I guess that counts some of those comments out. Look, verse 16, it says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows each to teach him? Look here, man, this is deep, deep stuff. I believe God doesn't want us to be careful here. He wants us to go right. He wants all this to go right over our head. He wants us to stop living where we can touch the bottom. And he wants us to trust him, to grab a hold of him, and let him lead us wherever he wants to lead. Folks, I don't mean to be long, but can I have just a couple minutes longer? Is it okay? Here's what's really cool. I used to beg my mom, Mom, let me go play in the deep end. My mom was not like Beth, okay? And you see, you know, I saw all the big kids play in the deep end. I'm begging to play in the deep end. I mean, I'm on the shallow side and the baby pool and where all the little kids play. And it's not as fun to play with the little kids as it was with the big kids. Not to mention that there's so much more chlorine on the shallow side in the baby pool. I have no, you got, I wanted to go to the deep end. And this is where you begin to see the power of God, the power of prayer. Paul, he knew this. What's cool is Paul begins to pray. And I want to read this prayer to you before we go. So when it comes to your faith this morning, are you in the deep end or the shallow side? Are you into this where it's over your head and you have to trust God? Are you waiting on the shallow side or the baby pool still unwilling to fully place your trust in the Lord? Well, Paul, it just wanted his buddies and he wanted his church in Ephesus to experience it. He wants all of you to experience the deep side. So he prays. You know what? Here's what he begins to pray, right? This is really cool. In Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, it says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully." Are you here with me today, folks? Come on, look. And then it says, "Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Man, that's good. That is powerful stuff. And it all kind of pulls and tightens and tightens together. God is calling us to the deep. Will you be willing to allow God to lead you to the deep? Will you this morning put your hope and faith in him? Let's all stand. Father, help us this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for just revealing to us, giving us hope that there's something more. There's something more here that you want us to experience. There's something more that you want from you, that you want to show us. Lord, the immensity of your love and grace, the vastness, the depth of it. God, not just all of that, but Lord, the healing and the truth and the hope and the life and the fruit and the blessing that we get from all of this. God, may we not underestimate it. May Lord, it just go completely over our heads, and may we celebrate in that. Celebrate in your Spirit, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And so without raising hands, just right where you're at, I have a prayer that we're going to show here on the shiner, on the wall here. And this is a prayer. If you're willing to take a step out, just pray with me. Father, I admit to you, my faith has been shallow and on the surface. I confess I have not trusted you as I should. This morning, will you help me to trust you? If that's your prayer this morning, just pray that. Pray that in these closing moments. Just pray it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here with us today. Your presence, God. Thank you. And then I have, Father, help me to move to a place where I have to trust you. Help me, God, to experience the wonderful things. Empower me through your Spirit to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. Father, help us, Lord, this morning. If that's your prayer, just pray through that this morning. Just pray through that this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And lastly, I want to swim with you in the deep end, where it is over my head, and I want you to work within me to accomplish infinitely more than what I may ask or think. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.